just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed?
Broken Tail Dog, Josh Ricardo here. I'm here. I'm not queer. Nothing against queer. But it's not, you know. That was just the way I was born. I'm just not queer. But I'm very lucky guy, and I'm lucky because in front of me, I have the very lovely, the very vivacious, the very thick-bottomed model, fit person, Dominique Hargrave. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
So Dom is in this sketch I put together called Joshapalooza. She's great in it. The sketch comes out in a couple weeks. That's how I met her. And she's building up her following, and she's really interesting. So I thought, why not have her on the show and promote her shit? Aren't you happy?
Yeah. I mean...
And also, Dom is from Rochester. And I have Rochester ties, so I protect my own, and I promote my own. So she's here.
Yes, small cities.
So you are here, and you are on the Broken Tail Dog Show. Isn't that exciting?
Woo-hoo.
Tell everyone how excited you are.
I'm so excited. It's a great opportunity, great, you know, individual to be also sitting in front of.
That's
you had
right.
A lot of great things to say about me.
You're
so
fucking A right.
I'm sure you guys have been listening to all this stuff, so
you're
you know how awesome
A
he is.
Right. They're listening. They can't get enough of me. Dying to touch my buttocks and finger.
Because they haven't seen mine.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you do. You have a large backside. So, you have an interesting background. You're just moved to New York City.
Yes.
And you are a college grad and also a chemistry major.
Yes.
True.
Facts.
Okay, so what's funny about, like, when you look at Dom's pictures, it's a lot of working out. Because she's really into fitness, but you wouldn't necessarily go, oh, that looks like a scientist or a chemist. You wouldn't necessarily think that. So what made you get into, like, were you good at chemistry and math in high school?
Yeah, so I was kind of that student in high school that was just kind of good at math and science. It was like AP chemistry my sophomore year, so I just kind of always excelled in it. I told myself I wasn't going to major in it because I was just like, oh, no, I not going to do that. Then got to college, realized I was still really good at it, and figured why not.
How do you even know you're even good at chemistry? What do you – how's that? Because I took chemistry, and maybe I'm just a fucking numbnut, but I remember just looking at the shit, like the – what do they call the table? What do they call it?
Periodic
that?
Table.
The periodic table, being like, what the fuck? I'm no drug
what
dealer.
This?
I didn't make Molly. But I remember being in high school looking at that shit. Like, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. This is me talking. I guess it's a natural thing that just comes about, right? I mean, is that do you do chemistry in middle school? Because I'm way older than you. I don't remember doing chemistry in middle school.
No, not middle school. So most people are first. Take the class about sophomore junior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was in honors chemistry my freshman year and then AP chemistry sophomore year. So I'd kind of started all of that early to be anyway.
So what's the first, I don't know, what do they call it? A fucking experiment? Like what's like what's one of the first experiments you did where you're like, oh, that's amazing. This is, I really love this. This is great. And I'm putting together sulfur and Clorox. What would it be?
So I guess for me what it really was just how factual things were. You know, you like you do things and that happens. Experimenting, but
what you're saying is that because like just like math, same thing in chemistry, literally if you do what it says to do, that's what happens.
Yeah, and you have the opportunity.
Unlike life, where you do everything right and you could still get royally
fucked. Maybe that's
over.
Why I'm in such a mess. No.
Because you're looking for life to be the same with like chemistry. Hold on, 2 + 2 = 4. Why is this not working? You don't talk like that, but I think it's funny. It's funny voice.
Thank you for acknowledging. I don't talk like that.
So, go ahead. What were you saying now? Go ahead.
And it kind of allows for a lot of like exploration in the same sense, because I mean, you can, you know, a lot of it's experimenting, it's hands-on, it is theoretical, but again, like, something about it for me clicked more than you know, word and history stuff.
So I'm a history guy. I really enjoy history. I'm one of those dudes. I also love art, obviously. But yeah, never math. Math. I once had this math teacher, and her name was Miss Tittiton. No joke. That's an actual name. And she was I don't know if she was Thai or Chinese. I'm sorry. I'm not for the Asian listeners. I don't remember. I'm not trying to be just like a stereotypical asshole. I am an asshole, but not like that. And I remember trying to learn math, and she had this really distinct accent, and it was very... I'm not even going to do it because it's going to come off so racist, but it was so confusing hearing her talk about... Because it was in 10th grade. No, shit. 8th grade. And she was doing the variables, and then that was when you get the negatives and the whatever the fuck math. And I remember sitting there like, there's no way... One, I'm terrible at this. Two, I have no idea what this woman is saying. I have no clue. And then from that point forward, I was just the worst at math. I think I failed math or got a D in it every year for the next 5 years in high school. And it hurt me. It hurt me deeply. I'm sad about it today, about the math. Miss Tittiton, if you're out there, you really screwed me.
Miss Tittiton.
If you listen to my show, though, thanks for the support. So... You're not good at history. You're not good at English. You're not good at anything that requires you to project and enunciate and express yourself.
Facts.
But
no.
You could put together some... Can you even bake? Do you know how to bake?
Yeah, it's all science if you think about it.
That's what I mean. So yeah. You're probably good at baking.
Cooking is just...
Yeah, following instructions and making sure you're doing the right amount.
It's kitchen lab.
But when do you put in your own spin on things? Like, there's no creative... property there. I mean, I'm sure there is once you get higher up in chemistry because you're starting to discover new shit. But for you, was there ever a moment where you're like, oh, well, what if I add a little bit more of this and then you blow up your face or whatever? I don't know. How does it work?
Luckily, I haven't blown up my face. We did have people start some fires that weren't meant to happen. But always through high school, that was the big joke, is that people liked chemistry because, like, you can light shit on fire.
Yeah.
It was, like, the only exciting, like, potential... excitement through high school, probably, in science class at least.
Lighting shit on fire, yeah.
And so there was definitely some, especially as, you know, we went through more in college, being able to create your own experiments, kind of use the knowledge that you do have to find and figure out the end goal. The way that I mainly like to use it is with actually baking and cooking. By knowing certain principles, you're kind of able to... fool around with or change the amounts that you use things, which has really helped me with the, like, healthier cooking.
Yeah.
So that's more or less the only way now I use chemistry in my science background.
Crazy. It's such a specific major. It's not like communications where everyone majors in something like that and it's just this umbrella major.
Business.
Yeah, business. Chemistry is really specific. What jobs, if any, I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but it must be a competitive marketplace, right? I would assume. And what kind of jobs would you go out for?
So, ones I don't want to do, which is why I'm not doing it.
Okay.
So a lot of it's like quality control, quality assurance stuff where, you know, you sit in a lab all day, you just test what's in the product, if it's the right thing. And there's a couple others, but again, a lot of it, especially with just a bachelor's, which sounds absurd to say, but with just a bachelor's, there's really not too much.
You mean to get to go higher education, right? Like master's, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Especially to get into like stuff that could be more interesting, you know, worth it. Originally my goal was pre-med. So that's kind of why I went with chemistry.
So you wanted to be a doctor, you thought?
Yes. Anesthesiologist.
They make a lot of money.
Yes.
Is that the only reason why?
Essentially.
That's what, at least 12 years of schooling, though.
Yeah.
And
easily.
You were like, fuck that.
Yeah, a combination
but why?
Of that. And
what
then...
year, what, how far into the whole bachelor's degree were you like, I'm not doing that. I mean, was it year two? I mean, when was it?
It was halfway through my junior year. So I had like...
You already declared your major.
Yep, declared. I had 3 semesters left. I was kind of like, fuck, let me just finish this. I'll have the degree in case... Not to say just in case, I did have potential backups, but once I started working with the supplement company and kind of realizing forms of preventative health, I was like, I don't really want to go into the pharmaceutical, medical side and realm.
Because if you're a pharmaceutical rep, if you're like, I dated a girl whose mother was a pharmaceutical rep, and every woman I met was either at one time really hot or still hot. And it was like it's almost like bottle service. Like, they go into the doctor's office and you pitch your product, whatever that is. And you try to get them to, you know, take on some free samples and then put an order with you. And it helps to be, I guess, an attractive woman, because I guess a lot of the doctors are male. So I remember her telling me how much her mom would make, and I was flabbergasted at how much money you can make just pushing legal drugs.
Right.
So that was something that you were gonna look into, or
you didn't want to do that? I didn't want to. I realized I don't really like taking pharmaceuticals.
Because you love sales. I mean, you still do sales gigs now. So I would assume that would be something you'd probably be pretty good at. It kind of cut to what your strengths are, I would assume. And so why didn't you want to do it? I'm sorry.
The morals behind pharmaceuticals, I guess, is...
In what sense? I mean, I think I know what you're getting at, but I'd rather you say it than me, because it's your story, so go ahead.
Gotcha. So I just feel like it's all, which given, it's going to sound ironic because the reason I wanted to get into it was because of money, but the whole industry is just like money driven, money ridden, and pharmaceuticals and painkillers, like Josh said, being quote unquote legal drugs, really just cause a lot of, I think, addiction problems and other further issues that I'd rather not have my name on.
So what you're saying is that basically, the world we live in and society we live in, everyone, it's a world of marketing. This is me saying this. It's a world of marketing where I think marketing's a piece of shit. I think it does dishonest things. I don't think it's cut to help you. I think in reality, it's just made to make you go, ooh, ah, I need that. I want that to keep us in this new form of slavery, which is credit card debt. And ultimately, when it comes to pharmaceutical medicines and whatnot, these things are set up to keep you coming back for more. It's not set up to cure you. It's set up to help you live a life with whatever situation you have and get you addicted to their shit so you can keep on buying it. Just like Apple makes a fucking device and they require you to buy their accessories for them. These are all marketing tools that basically rape your pockets and rape you. And if you buy in, then you're fucked. So essentially, I love drugs. But I also understand the dynamic behind it. And I am a part of the same hypocrisy as marketing, because I am a guy that's in entertainment. So, but at least what I'm offering is tangible. It's like, hey, this is a show I do, and I really like, this is what I do, this is how we do it. You'll like it. Check it out. With the drugs, it's like, this is better than all these other ones. And in reality, most of the time, the separation is so thin that it's not even necessarily better, just maybe the package looks better. It's like whatever they can get to catch your eye, like a little baby with keys, they will do. And you're saying that you did not want to be a part of that.
Correct.
Situation.
Yes.
But instead, you'd much rather show your ass off. Not in a negative way. Nothing negative about that at all. But if you're going to sell something, you might as well sell yourself as a brand as opposed to selling drugs to people.
Yes.
In so many words.
Yes.
Now, when your junior year comes along and you decide you don't want to pursue this anymore, and what school are you at this point? Or where? What,
Hobart, William Smith. So upstate, Finger Lakes region.
Okay, all right. So kind of close to home.
Yep.
And you say to yourself, well, what's my next move? Were you already doing shoots then, modeling? What were you doing during that time to make you even think that moving to New York City would be the way to go? Because you graduated relatively recently, right? I mean,
yes.
Months ago.
Well, yeah.
A year ago?
A year ago. Okay. Almost like exactly a year ago. Mm-hmm. So at that moment, I wasn't thinking, I don't even think I was really officially thinking fit or modeling. I was really kind of obsessed with like fitness models, because they really helped me get into fitness and start my journey with that. So I was
I'm going to be, I'm going to cut you off for a second, because yes. I got something to say about, I watched this guy on this CrossFit feed I follow cry over not being able to train his clients. I can't buy in anymore, guys. It's just, even if you're preaching all this positivity, there's so many bigger fish to fry. It's really hard for me as a person that's in tune with society to make a big deal out of that, right? And it, like I said, you know, to circle back, the marketing end of it all, where I gotta watch someone do squats or their fucking stupid workout, like I honestly want to throw my phone out the window. And it's because everyone's a trainer now. I'm sick of it. I played football in college. I've been training my whole life. I get like everyone's all about this. Oh, I did 3 sets of fucking prairie dogs or whatever new workout you're making up. Why do we gotta promote it? And I know that it's. And I know why, because there's money into it. There's money. You get enough followers, some fucking shake goes, hey, can you promote our shit? Even though maybe it doesn't work as well as we say, can you promote it? Or can you do this? And, oh, yeah, this is great. I've never found anyone in great... I don't want to be the best at working out. I want to be best at a sport. If you play a sport, I'm all about it. If you're really great at sports and you work out to be good at a sport, even if it's golf or fucking bowling or driving a race car, I'm in. Because you're working for something. I've never been working out to be great at working out. I don't know, man. I can't get on board with that. What Dom is saying is that were you a heavier person before in your life?
Yes.
Okay. So you had some issues with eating.
Yep.
And keeping yourself in shape. And because you're, what, 23, right?
Yep.
You've had a phone that's like a smartphone since you're probably like 12 years old, right? Basically.
Not 12.
But around that time, like pre-teen. 13, 14.
Yeah.
I mean, the iPhone's been around for 10 years, so there's no way you didn't have something similar to it, right? Meaning that you had access to Twitter, to all the other, Facebook, all this stuff that kind of came about in the last decade, you were on from the giddy-up, meaning that you're trained to do that because that's part of your adolescence, which is a great thing. So you're saying that going through life in your early years, a little heavier than most, that's probably a huge insecurity for you. And you found through these different fit models some inspiration to go out and get in shape.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's kind of what made you think, hey, this might be something cool for me because you started to get in shape yourself.
Yeah. So that's what it was. Once I had started on like a product regimen and losing weight myself, and I was like, shit, like I can make progress, and was, you know, seeing in myself what I really wanted for years but wasn't doing. And the easiest way to be able to do that is surround yourself around by like-minded people. But I didn't have people around me physically doing the same stuff. So the only way that I could find people doing the same stuff was through social media.
Sure. And when you say doing the same stuff, you're just talking about workout regimens and diet stuff?
Yeah, eating healthy, trying to like better themselves, live a
Yeah, I love that. I'm all
life.
About that. No, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against people bettering themselves and wanting to live a healthy lifestyle. But don't also act like you're so fuck. Some of these people, they're acting like they're so about everybody else. But in reality, we live in a self-absorbed cocksucker society. The majority of you motherfuckers are just pushing and peddling bullshit. You're peddling your fucking supplements, whatever else you're doing. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But don't sucker people in that are weak and go, hey, we're all about your health and who you are. And by the way, buy my shit. I spit all over this thing. I'm getting so angry. I spit all over my microphone.
Yeah, there is. Just like with any... Route, there's people who really take advantage and like abuse.
But that's my beef, is I feel like that happens more times than not now because everyone is a brand. So yeah. I can't look at anybody and just have an organic situation going, wow, that's pretty nice. Even Humans of New York, right? Amazing feed when it first came out. I thought, fuck man, this is what it's about. Even now, I still think that's getting contrived. You know, like everybody, because there's so much information you're putting out and there's this formula where you better post once a day and it better be this and it better be that. And it makes everything so contrived and inorganic that I cannot get on board. I am disenfranchised with you, but not with Dom. She's an original article, everybody. She's sitting right across from me. So when you started to work out and understand, hey, this is how I want to live. Mm-hmm. This is through college,
yes.
Right? And you're a tall woman. You were 5'10".
Yep.
Did you play any sports in college?
I was going to play basketball, but had to also work, so...
Okay. So you worked your way through college and really didn't have an opportunity to be a part of any sports necessarily, but I'm sure you played basketball in high school, I guess?
Yep.
So you always were active, and you liked working out.
Yeah, so I was always active. Like, I loved basketball, but I was never really, like, outside of practice one to be like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and, like, run or lift. So it was really, like, just basketball time.
So you're saying you never really did the extra stuff to get better at basketball. It was kind of like, that's my exercise and that's that. Let me go.
Yeah, like if I went to like camps and like things party. Like that. But yeah, especially the partying.
So you love to party.
Yes, that was kind of
my... loves to party. Ladies and gentlemen, like singing that song. Loves to party. What kind of party do you like to do? A little anal? So you start working out seriously your junior year.
Yes.
And at what point do you go, all right, I'm not going to make this work, the chemistry stuff. I'm not going to go any further with it. But I do think modeling is my calling. Fit modeling would be what I want to do. Is that junior year you decide that?
Yeah, towards the more so senior year, the more I started really seeing just how far I could push my body and change it to where I was like, oh shit, I really
am. How much weight did you lose?
25 pounds.
Lost 25 pounds, which isn't a crazy amount, but it's a good amount.
Yeah, and it was just like where it was lost. And I mean,
so like your gut?
Yeah, I was like the donut, you know, it all on like my hips and like right around those love handles. Oh, my love handles.
they're vicious.
Oh yeah.
Had the powerful obliques. So you're like, okay, this is, I could get into this. And are you at that point posting and trying to build up a following to a certain degree? Or are you still trying to learn how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I was building a following, but I wasn't like, oh, I have to post it like these certain times and I have to only post these and this.
Yeah, you didn't know about that yet. It was just kind of like...
Yeah, I was like, I'm just posting what it is that I'm genuinely doing I'm doing it. My stuff didn't look very good. You know, it's not like I had everything like pristine and like looking good, but like I would record videos because, you know, I was either like hitting PRs or I was like, it was like huge that I was even doing the workouts I was in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your senior year, you're getting close to graduating. And at what point are you like, even though you're in upstate, it's still a big move to move here. It's really difficult. And for those of you that have never done that, New York, specifically any city for that matter, has its own obstacles to move to, but New York especially, I mean, it's 20 times more difficult. So you decided, I'm going to move to New York City and I'm going to pursue fit modeling.
Yep.
What transpired after your first thought of that? What did you do to try to make that happen? What did you know you had to make happen to get to New York City?
My first thought was just having some kind of work, because obviously I wasn't going to come down here and just like take off with modeling. So my first thing was, let me get some kind of income down there. So then I have an excuse to move down there, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But before doing that, did want to do and try out some shoots, take a couple of classes for modeling in terms of like posing in front of a camera on like the business side of it, things like that. So I kind of was trying to do as much education for myself that I could before just being like, go.
Yeah. When I moved here, I literally had no job. It took me 3 months to find a gig. Still paying off debt from those 3 months. It is a brutal, brutal, brutal place to move to. Well worth it. But fucking brutal.
It
really
will
kicks your ass.
Always try to eat you alive.
when someone looks into modeling, you're 5'10", which you have the height for a runway model, but you're not built like that.
Correct.
So luckily for you, we're in a day and age where Instagram modeling is a thing now.
Yeah.
And being a thick, I mean, would you classify yourself as thick? Because you're just like, you're muscular. You just got like big ass, like big, like you're just like a thick. Is it thick? What would be the way to describe your body?
Yeah, I guess I would say thick. That's the main way I can think to describe it. You know, I have big thighs, but I just have wide hips.
Yeah.
So curvy, thick.
Sure, sure. And you know, if this was 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you wouldn't think I would be a model, right?
Right.
There was no avenue.
It was
for
like
that.
40 or like way, way back,
like,
and then
up,
you really
pin
would.
Yeah, pin up. Definitely pin up. And even now, burlesque. I mean, burlesque's been around for a long time. And it's making kind of a resurgence. Return. So you're like, okay, I think I can make a go of it. What even gives you confidence to do that? I mean, do you start up, I assume, a Model Man page and you start doing shoots right away? I mean, is there any moment where you're like, okay, this is... Because I know for me, to move here, I definitely came out here and I did some shows and I was already working a lot in California. And then I said, you know, I think I have what it takes to make it out there. I should move because I'd already put the work in. How did you put the work in before you decided to move here? Or did you just fucking pull the trigger and do it?
Kind of more the latter.
Isn't that crazy if you're... I mean, you have no experience in modeling at all. But you're an attractive enough girl to go, someone's going to take a picture of me. Let's just go. I've never, I don't even know what that feels like. There's like always a million steps for me to get anything little. And you're like, oh, well, you know, fuck it. People say I'm pretty and someone's going to take my picture. Look at this ass. Like, how does that even work? Oh my God.
And I I mean,
she's
I did
laughing,
like,
but that's exactly what she thought when she moved here. Well, look at this ass. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to take a photo of this ass? Come on. It's my inner monologue. It's the voice of my inner monologue. Hey, Josh, we got to go get some eggs. You're missing some eggs and bacon. Sorry, go. Oh, sorry, goodness. Go ahead. I digress.
So as much as I would, like, say that's not my, you know, part of me wants to be like, oh, that's not what I was thinking. But, like, it totally... Like, subconsciously, obviously had to have been, because...
It takes a lot of confidence to do that. It
I literally...
Even unbridled confidence or unearned confidence. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because I kind of just... I mean, I did, like, a couple random shoots, again, upstate. Did just, like, time for, so I was like, oh, let me, you know, build a portfolio. And that was one of the main reasons I also wanted to come down here, because I was like, well, there's going to be a lot more people that I can... you know, photographers, just be able to get in touch with, mm-hmm. do shoots, build something, whether it was paid or unpaid. I was getting people reaching out. So I was like, all right, well, if I'm getting people while I'm like in bumfuck New York reaching out to me. Let's try New York, mm-hmm. which, yeah, definitely has its challenges.
Was there anywhere else that you thought you might move besides New York?
Chicago.
Chicago. Why Chicago? Do you have roots there? I mean, I heard it's a cool city. It's the only city I've never really partied in or hung out in. So do you have people there? Is that why? Or
so my cousin lives out there. She lives out there with her boyfriend. But another reason was because last summer when I was trying to find, again, just something to do, whether it wasn't for modeling, but it was just for background acting. And I was really interested in just kind of seeing what the setup was on shoot, and so I went out there a couple of times for background work. And
for what kind of shows or TV?
Empire,
or...
and then there another one on FX. It was, I think they made a show out of The Exorcist. So so did a couple
background
for Empire.
Is a crazy job. I have some friends that have made
very,
you know,
interesting.
You get paid pretty little money, but you're just kind of standing around a lot.
Yeah, you don't do all too much, and I mean, no. Like you get the feel of how long it takes to get a scene and how many times you got to redo it. And
setups are brutal. I mean, with TV, it's a little faster because they are on a schedule. They have to shoot. But for film, I mean, it's 90 days of just figuring out how to exactly light a shot and all that stuff. So it is interesting to see how they set up. But
yeah,
it is a fucking task to stand around, right? I mean, it's not easy to stand around. People think, oh, you're just standing around. But trust me, it isn't. Because you don't get any perks, really. I mean, they feed you.
Yep.
But they don't put you in a trailer. If it's in Chicago, if you're shooting near the, even it's cold 9 months out of the year there. You'd be standing around getting your ass handed to you by the wind.
Luckily, the one was inside, and then the one for The Exorcist was actually overnight shoots on an L train. So we just like sat on an L train going around in the circle and like in North Chicago overnight. So it was a night scene.
Yeah.
So that was also, it was just really.
What do you use a John when you're on the train like that, though? These are things I think about. That's Josh Ricardo's worries. Like, where's the John?
I mean, they would every so often
stop the drink,
stop,
get off.
And then, like, you know, if you're not needed, well, no, because even when you, like,
see,
you were needed in some of it, you would go on, like, this other train that's not being filmed that were, and they had, like, you know, like, snacks and water, but, like, there's hours of just doing nothing.
But what about the John? Here's the... I have to use a restroom. I get weird on the train where sometimes I have to like literally get off the train to use the bathroom. me on a train and you're telling me you're not going to stop it for 3 hours, that'll automatically make my stomach go, you're going to shit your pants. Because hearing that they can't stop the train, my stomach hates me and it'll be like, oh, guess what? You're going to have to hold it for 3 hours. We're going to make it right now or you're going to shit your pants. And I would fear that. Where do you go to the bathroom?
I mean, they had bathrooms downstairs.
They had a bucket, like fucking...
medieval times. No.
So they had a bathroom.
Yeah, so like downstairs, not so where their trailers and like other stuff was, they had like...
But how can you get off the train if you keep going around and around? It's moving.
I mean,
it's
they
moving.
Stop sometimes.
It's
they
moving.
Have to like get the other people, and it's not because of your sake, but it just so happens.
They stop sometimes. How long in between? You're not hearing me here. How long in between? What's sometimes?
I didn't time it.
An
I don't
hour,
know.
2 hours, what? See, and I have a problem. It's fucking... can't work in those conditions. Sorry, I cannot do background for you, sir. That's what I'd be saying to the person, the casting agent. I'm really sorry. I know I'm needed in background, but this is just not to my liking. If I get a tummy ache. So what was going to be the definitive moment between picking between Chicago and New York? You just went for New York first, and how long would it have been between finding a job and not finding a job that you'd have switched back and said, fuck, let's do Chicago?
Great question.
Thank you.
I didn't really have a, I need to figure this out by this time or else this type of a thought process because I was kind of like, going to go to New York at that point. Before I was kind of like between the two because I did, you know, some of the background acting and I did meet some really great people out there. Mm-hmm. Midwest is like really great people. And again, I had my cousin out there, so I, you know, knew someone. Mm-hmm. Some of the people that I met on set were really awesome, so already had some connections and networked out there.
That's
but,
so great. I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody. Literally, I know nobody. There's never been a moment where I go, man, I would totally move here. I met so many cool people. I think it's me. I'm sure it is me. I don't know anybody. Anyways, keep going. Fascinated by the people you meet.
Yeah.
One time you meet them, you're like, oh, that guy seems cool. Let's hang out. Maybe just people aren't nice to me like that.
Maybe I'm too I mean.
You're like naive nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she did that. Yeah. I'm a little naive nice. That gets them all the time. That
oh
little giggly
God.
Shit.
I
am Dom Hargraves.
Oh, my God. I hope
take me to your house. Keep going. Sorry.
It was so creepy. No, I mean... I think part of, maybe it can be, you know, taken as naive, but yeah, I'm very open to, I don't know, just having conversations with people. And I guess in terms of, especially with being in New York, I realize, you know, a lot of people here do take it as being naive. I always just was like, oh, I come from a small town. I don't know. I talk to people. I used to, people wanting to talk, whereas in the city, it's very different.
I play a lot of small towns and the talking shit's overrated. And I'm going to tell you why. So... it's a lot. This is the thing. You tell me if you've noticed this now that you've been in New York. At least you've been, what, 3-4 months now you've been here?
Yeah, since January. So.
Okay, so almost 6 months. Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, right.
So,
I'm alive.
So this is what I've noticed. I play a lot of small towns when I do my gigs. And I'm not unfriendly, contrary to how I act on the air. I'm not. I will talk to people. I smile. I'm very polite. I'm a gentleman. These are things that are true about me. So just to get that out of the way. The part about the whole talking thing and how everyone's so nice in small towns, it's bullshit. It's not that people are nice. It's people don't have any filter, and they think that you want to know about their day. And
yes.
I don't. It's very self-absorbed. It's extremely selfish, and they occupy your time. And then they think you're rude when you want to move along. I once had a lady who was working at like a circle, the equivalent of a Circle K in this town. I don't know what the fuck the convenience store was called. But they put me up in this shabby hotel, so I'd have to walk across a freeway and get the essentials, you know? I was playing this gig for, 4 days, whatever. Every time I went in there, this woman needed to tell me about the previous customer, what was happening, blah, 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 to a point where I was finally like, hey, I gotta go. It's every day with this lady. So fuck that small town shit.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think people... all talk because they're nice. A lot of them are either complaining. They really, quite frankly, don't have anything better going on. That was another reason I really wanted to get to the city. Because people just are doing shit. And it's more motivating. It's energizing. Instead of, you know, seeing the same people and the same people hear the same people complain about the same stuff. And again, want to take up your time for no good reason.
To give you guys props in the small town, though, I do enjoy the lightness of the people I encounter, though. I will give you that. It is nice coming from New York to get a break sometimes and have people just kind of happy to be around. You're just like, oh, hey, hi. You know, I do like that part of it. I do like the cordial nature of certain places, because no one's out looking like, okay, what are they trying to get from me if they say hi? Like here,
yes.
I can't walk around Queens and be like, hey, buddy. Like, it just doesn't work that way. And not that people don't want to say hi. It's just everyone here is on the take and you're always keeping your eyes and ears open for something brutal. I mean, literally, we're recording right now. This is, what's today? The 7th, 18th. And some guy just somebody just drove their car through Times Square and killed somebody and hit a bunch of people just out of the blue. And no one knows why. It's this kind of shit that happens in New York. Just like, hey, someone just might pull some crazy shit on you and try to throw you in front of a subway car. Like, this is what's crazy about New York, and it's a give and take. I get it. But, yeah, that whole small talk thing, no. I'd rather live where people run each other with cars than deal with small talk. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So you were living in a small town. You thought to yourself, you know, let's go where people are doing stuff. Let's get moving.
Yeah.
Because you're a mover. You're a shaker. You're a party animal. You're a smoker. You're a toker.
Yeah.
You're a midnight joker.
I was like, what's the next one? I was trying to think. That's why I paused. I was like, there's something else.
What is the move for someone who is, because it's a pretty specific genre. I mean, I know you're going to do some acting stuff too, but that's probably more backseat to the fitness modeling, right? So the next move for you is just to get in extreme shape, like great shape, so you can take the proper photos to build up your brand. But once you, let's say in 6 months you have 50, 100,000 followers and stuff's taking off, what's the game plan after that if you even have one? What is it?
So I've considered a few things. I guess mainly, I mean, part of me, I don't even know what I would do with, I mean, not to say do with that many followers. This really doesn't matter. It's so weird, this whole, like, followers thing. But anyway.
We're obsessed around this place. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, no, it really, it's absurd. I was just catching myself the other day being like, why does this matter? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I guess I really want also like a YouTube channel, which again goes with like following and just putting out more content, anything that can really end up benefiting more people. I've always considered writing a book, and I think that would be
really,
yeah.
You know, I think that could be interesting too, and I've thought about that. Like, but what's weird about it, unless your book is specific about, you know, you went through these really trying times, unless you're super famous, it's really hard to sell a book about yourself.
Exactly. That's, you know, kind of why after, yeah, like a very significant following, if I already have people who are like, shit, I like this girl, or I follow, mm-hmm, I know what she stands for. Because there is a certain, you can be transparent, and I try to be very transparent on social media, in terms of like things, some things that I share.
With that? Like, 'cause I've watched your feed before. You talk a lot. How do you decipher, like, because you're, unlike some people I've seen on there, you have options, right? Because you're intelligent, you have options in the sense that you could go work a day job and be okay with that. You could have a really lucrative career in a day job because you do have an education and you are right, intelligent enough to go do that. This is not the end all be all for you. I mean, it's not the end of the day. If you don't make this happen, it's not like you're going to be homeless,
right?
You know? So how do you balance that? And also, when you're talking to your fan base, how much is too much? Do you get response like they're listening? Have you ever got it where you're like, oh, I kind of rambled on that one? I mean, because when you – it's like one of those things with social media now. If you share too much and you kind of go on and on and on, people's attention spans aren't always – and you're still only doing it through Snapchat, so I'm sure it's a minute long. It's not that big a deal. But do you take that into account? And if you do, how do you break that down whenever you make those moves?
Yeah, so sometimes, especially because I tend to, not to say tend to ramble, but it just depends. Like certain times, even today, actually, if you were to go on my Snapchat, while I was waiting to get here, because I was actually on time, actually early, I just like jumped
up. She wants a pat on the back for being early to a gig. Way to go, Dom. You're a winner.
Anyway, And so I like jumped on Snapchat because I was just really excited. And that's, so I had, you know, things I wanted to share with, you know, people who do listen. And my thing is, if the people who don't listen, I mean, people who don't listen, doesn't, that's not who I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about who is listening. And I have had people who have reached out to me, even like old friends and other people, you know, random followers that have specifically acknowledged. I had one friend, she was like, honestly, she's like, I used to never listen to these. She's like, now I like get excited to like wake up in the morning and be able to see, you know, to watch your Snapchat. So I've had, you know, it's not like a huge amount of people, but even if I have a few people who are like, I like listening to what you have to say.
Yeah.
I feel like I can have that happen with more people if I just reach them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like talking to the, I don't like talking to my phone.
I had someone else give me someone, they were like, I don't know how you do it. They were like, I it's really feel like, it's really they annoying. Just like picture me like holding it. And I'm like,
I can't, I hate it. Unless there's a guy film or someone filming me and there's like a script or like I'm just improvising and there's like a purpose and I'm doing a sketch, then yeah, but I've done that before. I try to hold the phone in front of my face and just be like, so yeah, then I was walking to the store and I fuck this guy. Like, I try to do it. I can't. I don't know if I'm just too old and it's really hard for me to understand why I would want to talk to my phone. I hate it. I really hate it. It's the worst. It's miserable. I don't want to talk to my phone. I want to talk to the people.
The people.
But you're saying the people are on the other side of that phone.
Yeah.
Hmm. Blew my mind. There's actually people on the other side of the phone.
There is.
It's not just me talking to myself via my phone.
Right. Just like you're not talking to that microphone, you're talking to people.
Yeah,
right,
but you're
now
in front of me though, so I'm talking to you. People are just part of the gig. It's just this, you know. I'm glad you're listening, everybody, but you know, I'm talking to her. I'm trying to make it interesting. I'm an actor. I'm a trained actor. Trained. Trained singer as well. Don't forget it. I'm an award-winning filmmaker. Fucking tell me how to talk to a phone. For my next act, I'm going to play a guy talking to his phone.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to do it now. I'm not recording anything. I'm just going to look at my phone as a prop. Dom, just bear with me.
Okay, I got you.
Hey, everybody. So I have that. See, I can't even take myself seriously. It's so brutal. Dom, tell us where people can find you. Plug your shit.
All right. So on Instagram, at domirene.fit. So you can figure out the spelling, I think, but domirene.fit. Snapchat is dom_Hargreaves. Better off probably going to Instagram and then just figuring out how to spell my last name.
Create a whole new one exactly like one or the other.
Yeah. Like I should probably get rid of the Snapchat one because no one knows
how to marketing.
No one knows how to spell my last name.
Mark, your name, your last name is weird.
Yes.
Spell it.
Hargreaves.
So I want to say Hargreaves.
Greaves.
But it's Graves.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for confirming. And what's next for you? What else are you doing? Anything that they can look out for? Or just basically go to the Instagram and check out the Snapchat and you're basically updating every day, letting people know what you're doing? Or is there something big about to happen?
So I guess with... so definitely everyday stuff. I am doing some giveaways with the products and the company that I'm currently working with. Sweet. So free stuff never hurts. Definitely check out, be on the lookout for those. And then shoots in June. So June is really going to be end of June. A lot more for photo shoots and stuff going on then. So if you want to see that take off, be in touch for that as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in. Did you have fun?
Yes, always.
Everyone go follow her. She's great. She's amazing. And look out for Dom, and she's going to be in the sketch called Josh Palooza, which is a really funny sketch.
And many more.
And she's great. Yes, exactly. Take a load for free. Take a load off Betty. And you put the load right on me. I picked